Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to the commentary series on the Confessions of St. Augustine. I'm Dr. Paul Thigpen, an author and retired professor of historical theology. This is the 15th episode of our series, and we're using the TAN edition of the book. Today we explore Book 10, chapters 1 through 19, in which St. Augustine dives deeply into the subject of the human memory and the role it plays in the spiritual life. We'll begin with the prayer that begins Book 10. Let me know you, O Lord, who know me. Let me know you even as I am known. Virtue of my soul, enter it and make it a fit dwelling for you, that you may have it and hold it without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Why would Augustine think and write so much about memory? His writings as a whole demonstrate his intense interest in the faculties of the soul, not just memory, but also imagination, intellect, emotion, and especially the will. His insights into these matters are so profound that after 17 centuries, students of psychology, which literally means study of the soul, can still learn from him if they ponder carefully what he has to say. In this light, we shouldn't be surprised to find him thinking here about memory. After all, this spiritual autobiography is simply one long exercise in memory, recollections mined from the depths of his soul. And it's characteristic of this author to turn from what he is doing to understand how and why he is doing it. In offering a kind of prelude to his meditations on memory, the saint returns to the specific matter of why he is writing the book. To understand exactly what it is he hopes we'll gain from our reading, we should listen carefully to what he now says. First, the saint says he has recalled these events and will publish them for others to read because, as the Gospel of John says, whoever does what is true comes into the light. I wish to do so in my heart, he says, in these confessions before you, Lord, and by my pen before many witnesses. He rescues his past from the darkness of forgetfulness and brings it into the light of memory, both for his own sake and for the sake of others. Yes, much of what he says is a source of embarrassment, as is the case with any examination of conscience. But now that my groaning is witness that I am displeasing to myself, he confesses, you, Lord, shine forth. You please me. You are loved and desired, so that I blush for shame, and I cast myself off and choose you instead, and I shall never please myself or you, unless it is because of you. So then, Lord, I am manifest to you, whatever I may be. In the light, his memories become like fertile seeds that bear the good fruit of understanding, intention, and resolve. Augustine then goes on to admit that there are difficulties in this endeavor because of the condition of heart in some who might read what he is confessing. What therefore do I have to do with men, he asks the Lord, that they should hear my confessions as if they were going to heal all my debilities, a race eager to spy into other people's lives, but sluggish to correct their own? Why should they want to hear from me what I am, when they do not want to hear from you what they themselves are? In the end, the saint concludes, he's not really writing for everyone, but for those with loving hearts, those for whom charity has opened their ears. In them, the fruit he reaps by bearing his heart is certain. He insists, for when the confessions of my bygone sins are read and heard, sins you have forgiven and covered, to make me blessed in you, changing my soul by faith and by your sacrament, they rouse up the heart, lest it drowse in hopelessness and say, I cannot do it. Let the heart be wakeful in a love of your mercy and in the sweetness of your grace, wherein every feeble person is made mighty, when by that grace he comes to know well how feeble he is. Good men delight to hear of the past sins of those who are rid of the sins now. It does not delight them that the sins were evil, but that the sins once were and are no longer. Even so, Augustine realizes, confessing his past is not enough. He needs to take the further step of confessing his current failings and weaknesses. What fruit, then, do I hope to reap, my Lord, to whom my conscience confesses every day, more secure in the hope of your mercy than in its own innocence? I treasure that insight. What fruit, I ask, shall I reap when in your presence by these writings I confess to mere men what I now am and not what I once was? For I have seen that other fruit, and I have spoken of it. But what I am now, at this very time when I write these confessions, many people desire to know, both those who know me and those who do not, who have heard something from me or about me. How, Augustine reasons, can they know what is hidden away in his heart and mind unless he reveals it to them? So he must speak and write the truth for those who have good hearts, and in their charity they will trust him to be telling him the truth and learn from what he reveals to them. How will those men and women with a heart of love respond to his words? And how will their response bear good fruit in their lives? And how will it all glorify God? In short, Augustine says, it will result in thanksgiving and prayer. Why do they want this? He asks. What fruit will they reap? Do they wish to join me in thanksgiving when they hear how far I have come toward you, Lord, by your free gift, and to pray for me when they hear how much my own heaviness slows me down? To such people I will reveal myself. For it is no mean fruit to have many people give thanks to you for us, and to have many people pray for us. Let the brotherly mind love in me what you teach us is to be loved, and grieve for what in me you teach us is worthy of grief. Whether it approves or disapproves, it loves me still. To such people I will reveal myself. Let them breathe easy when they hear of the good in me. Let them sigh when they hear of the bad. Then, Lord, may you have mercy upon me, according to your great mercy, for your name's sake, and do not abandon what you have begun, but bring to its consummation all that in me is unfinished. Such marvelous humility, such confident faith, such a gracious invitation to all of us who are reading his words so many centuries later, to allow them to bear good fruit within us, not just of thanksgiving and prayer, but also of repentance and conversion of heart. What a privilege it is to be counted among those whom he describes as the faithful, sharers in my joy and partners in my mortality, my countrymen, my fellow pilgrims, those who have gone before me in the way, those who will follow me, and those who walk at my side. Augustine goes on to confess the limits of what he knows, and even what he can know, because of the mystery that lies deep within the depths of the human soul. We think we know ourselves, but so much about ourselves is hidden even from ourselves, and known only to God. That reality presses us to rely utterly on God if we are to be fully healed and enlightened. The saint declares, "Lord, I will confess what I know about myself, and I will confess what I do not know about myself, because whatever I do know, I know by your light, and what I do not know, I will never know until my darkness is made in your countenance like the noonday sun." Then Augustine breaks into words of loving praise. "Not with a wavering, but with a sure conscience do I love you, Lord. You smote my heart with your word, and I loved you. And heaven and earth and all that is in them, behold, they all say to me that I should love you, nor do they cease to say it to all men." How exactly does the creation speak of its creator in this way? As he did in an earlier passage, Augustine writes here lyrically of the intellectual ascent from the goodness of creatures to the goodness of their creator. He sings of the glimmers of God in the physical universe, as we rise through the great hierarchy of created things to their summit, And from that summit, we make the great leap at last to their Maker, the one on whose gracious will they depend for their very existence, the ultimate source of all their goodness. Augustine says to God, "What then do I love when I love you? Not the comeliness of a body, not the grace of a season, not the gleam of light so friendly to the eyes, not the sweet melodies of songs and all their modes, not the pleasant fragrance of flowers and ointments and spices, not manna and honey, not winsome limbs for the embraces of the flesh. These are not the things I love when I love my God. And yet I do love a kind of light, a kind of voice, a kind of fragrance, a kind of food, and a kind of embrace when I love my God. The light, the voice, the fragrance, the food, and the embrace of my inward man, where a light that no place can contain fills my soul, where a voice sounds that no time can rush away, where a fragrance is found that no breeze can scatter, where sweetness is tasted that no feeding can diminish, where something cleaves that satiety never pulls apart. This is what I love when I love my God." It's precisely this kind of magnificent love song to our Creator, the lover of our souls, that has endeared Augustine to so many of us for so many centuries. So the saint finds traces of evidence that God exists in the various kinds of beauty and power he encounters throughout creation. But he saw beyond the claims of the pagans, who had often stopped too soon in their ascent upward, concluding that one or other of the creatures they observed were divine, such as the heavenly bodies. Augustine realized that each one of these creatures only pointed higher still. "I questioned the whole mass of the world about my God," he recalls, "and it answered me, 'I am not He, but He made me.'" Finally, Augustine launches headfirst into his intriguing analysis by climbing beyond the physical senses to the fields, as he calls it, and the spacious country seat of the memory, where are treasures of innumerable images of all kinds of things imported by the senses. Whatever we think, too, is hoarded up there by enlarging or diminishing or somehow varying what the sense has touched on, and whatever else is commended to it and laid in place, which has not been swallowed up and buried in forgetfulness. The saint takes note, with abundant examples we can all recognize, of the vast collection of things stored in the memory, sense impressions made through physical experience, and also images of things never experienced, but pictured by the imagination based on other experiences. We meet ourselves there as well, remembering our thoughts and even our feelings, though without feeling the feelings, we remember the person we once were, but who has now changed. We remember abstracts, innumerable reasonings, as he calls them, and laws of numbers and dimensions. We even remember thoughts that aren't true, arguments that aren't valid. We may forget something, but we can remember that we have forgotten it. "When I name forgetfulness," he says, "and I recognize what I am naming, how do I recognize the thing if not by remembering it?" The saint provides an entertaining description of the process of remembering. "When I go there, into my memory, I ask that something I want be brought to me, and some things come forth at once. Some things take a little longer, as if they had to be dug out from some more obscure cubbyholes. Some things sally forth in troops, and when you are looking for something else, leap right in the middle as if they were saying, 'Maybe we're the ones you want?' And I wave them away with the hand of my heart, driving them from recollection, till finally the clouds dissolve and what I want appears to sight, coming forth from its hiding places. Some things come easily in untroubled order, one by one, just as they are bidden, and the ones in front give way to the ones that follow, and when they give way, they are put back in place again, to come out whenever I want them again." All these things does that vast recess of the memory take in, with all its secret places and its winding ways no one can describe, to summon up when needed, or to stow away again. "Great is this power of memory, exceedingly great, O God, a vast and endless sanctuary. Who can plumb its depths? And this is the power of my mind, and it belongs to my nature, and I myself cannot grasp all of what I am. Therefore, the mind is too narrow to contain itself. Another delightful Augustinian dilemma. Yet he uses these meditations to impress upon us spiritual lessons. I urge you to read carefully the entire passage here about the memory. Augustine's insights can cause you to marvel at the wisdom of God in crafting the wondrous mystery we call the mind and its memory. His words can humble you with the realization that we cannot fully understand even ourselves, much less our Creator, who stands far above and beyond that great mystery, the one in whom nothing is ever unknown or forgotten. Finally, Augustine's thoughts about memory can cause us to press higher and higher above all that we know or remember to find God Himself. We'll close with a prayer in this passage. What then shall I do, you, my true life, my God? I shall pass beyond this power of mine called the memory. I shall pass beyond it, that I may touch you, sweet light, at last. By my mind I mount up to you, who abide above me. I shall pass beyond this power of mine called the memory, desiring to attain to you, to touch you where you may be touched, and to cleave to you. Amen.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including the Confessions and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.